Amen and amen. Perseverance, my friends, that is fitting well for tonight's message. You know, y'all know me anyway. I always try to find a song to tie into our message for Friday night. So, again, this was another one because I've been thinking about this message for quite a while, and I hope that you can relate to it also. So, don't mess with my head. Y'all give me an amen and make sure this mic check is working fine because I've been rearranging and adding some more hardware to all this equipment that I've been investing money into. So I'm almost to the point. I got everything vested up. I got one more little stand I got installed for another backup microphone, which I may end up getting. It's called a Pro Version microphone. This is almost the cream of the crops. This is almost better than this one. But it has four different features, four different ways of pickups and everything else. So, you know, this is going to be used as a backup because I'm almost set up where I can start bringing in what we call invite guests on our Bible studies. And, you know, like I say, if I start doing live sermons, that I can send out links and have people, you know, join me in split screens in order to do different topics. So this is something I'm working on for the future. So anyway, it's Friday night. I'm glad that you are here. And y'all know my signature opening, you know, it's Friday night and I do it on Thursday night too, you know. But I'm glad that you are here because some of you who are dedicated has decided to keep showing up here for this platform. Now, you know, like I said, I mentioned it. I'm not beating around the bush on this. You know, this is going to stay for the few that's hanging out here because apparently in the last 4.5 weeks, you know, a total of 400 people came. Out of 400, one showed up, and that person's not even talking. So I'm not really too much worried about investing time into this right now. I'm focused on other things. So if this decides to pick up, it picks up. If it's not, it'll keep going as long as the platform is free. But back to our message. When I did last week's message, you know, I had some thoughts rolling around in my head, and I was thinking, okay, what to speak on. And, you know, a lot of times I meditate, pray, I read, I search scriptures, you know, I get inspired by things on the outside from some things that each and every one of you say in the chat. And yes, many of you have contributed to sermons because I listen to what you say and I start meditating on it. And before you know it, we got a rough draft going. But this one here has been more particularly laying on my mind for what I've been seeing and hearing and dealing with and seeing other people going through the same situation as, you know, many I've been talking to as of late. I've been talking to a lot of people outside this room, and this is why. But in case some of you have not noticed, but as of the last year, and this has just been me, but maybe hopefully that you have seen this too, but as of the last year, there have been a growing number of Christians who are at their breaking point in their lives. Many Christians I've been talking to, they are at a breaking point in their lives. And it's got me wondering why. How come? What's going on? And many of their talks that I have talked to when they've been talking to me, you know, telling me some things you're fixing to hear, many of their talks really, bottom line, has nothing to do with the Lord, period. No talks of Jesus, not even mentioning Jesus, not even trying to present the gospel, not even trying to present salvation to people. Been other talks. But many of them that's at their breaking points, a lot of them, it's just to the point they're ready to quit. In fact, a few Christians would even entertain, and this is what I've been dealing with in the last year, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, a few Christians would even entertain the thoughts of quitting on their love for Jesus. I'm sure that some of you that you know Christian people have said, I'm ready to quit. See, most despairing Christians that I have dealt with think only of giving up on themselves. And you hear it so often now. You hear it a lot. And you hear these phrases or these sayings or these words. And this is what many of them that I have talked to and that I have encountered have said this to me, even here in this chat, even to the ones I talk to on Facebook, and even to the ones I talk to outside of this real world. And a lot of them have talked to me to tell me, Pastor Jim, I just can't go on anymore. I can't take it. I can't make it. This is getting too rough for me. It's getting so hard to try. It's so hard on me to do so. It's hopeless. Why should I even bother to try anymore? Have y'all heard these phrases lately? I know it's just not me. I know it's not me. And with this pandemic that's been going on for this year, I've been listening a lot more carefully to Christians. And I've been watching a lot of you, even you in the room. But a lot that I have been talking to or seeing in church or in and out church within the past year have mentioned this to me once or another. And a lot of them are in this condition. They are saying things like this. And just when it seems that victory is within reach, they stumble and they fall. Good, honest Christians are so overwhelmed by guilt and condemnation, it causes despair. And when they can't live up to their own expectations, they themselves fall back into sin and get involved with the things of the flesh, and they decide to give up and walk away. Now, more than ever, we hear, and I'm sure that you're going to relate to this because I've been paying real close attention to this, and I am deeply ashamed that these ministers are doing it. But now, more than ever, we hear how some ministers today continually preach only positive messages from the pulpit. They preach only positive messages from the pulpit. To hear them tell it that every Christian is receiving his or her miracles. Everybody's getting instant answers to prayers. Everybody is feeling good, living good, and the whole world is bright and rosy. Nothing is wrong. You are okay. I don't know about you. Hey, look, I would love to hear that kind of preaching. I would. Because I really wish all those good and healthy things for God's people are true. I really wish all those things were true for God's people. But folks, that's not the way things are for a great many number of Christians who are honest and sincere in their heart. That's not so. How sad, and this is what I say, how sad it is to hear such shallow theology being pushed from the pulpits today. How sad to hear such nonsense being preached from these pulpits today. Folks, to me, that is an insult to the lowly Jesus who became poor, who died a failure on the cross of the eyes in the world. It's kind of what I call a materialistic preaching that is so ill-prepared that the entire generation to endure any kind of pain, to be content with such things as they have, to be abased and always not abounding. In other words, it's brainwashing many so-called Christians. See, folks, look, let me tell you something. And those of you who's listening to this sermon, to many of these so-called Christians, serving God to them sometimes becomes something like an Olympic race in which everyone must strive for the gold medals. Anything else is insufficient. My goodness. No wonder so many Christians give up in defeat. No wonder. Because of that crazy nonsense being preached from the pulpit. They can't live up to the image created by these so-called religious groups. They can't live up to the image of these so-called happy-go-lucky, rich, successful, and always positive-thinking Christians. They're trying to look up to them. They're trying to be like them. And most times, they put it into their minds, they can't achieve what they have gotten, so therefore they became a failure, and therefore they have condemned their own selves. And that's why I say that is dangerous theology and dangerous preaching from the pulpit. Those ministers, I would love to take them and knock their jaw right off their face. Y'all know me. I don't beat around the bush when I preach. I don't preach none of this crazy nonsense. I don't preach prosperity, feel good, everything's okay, you all are the greatest one there is. And no, hogwash. I preach the truth. And the Bible tells us we are going to endure trials and tribulations and hardships and pains and failures. But that's part of being a true blue, born-again Christian and walking with the Lord. That's what part of being Christ is all about. But what happens to these folks when they see this, and they see all these so-called happy-go-lucky Christians, they understand in this world is not idealistic. And they end up looking in the mirror and reflecting on those other so-called Christians who are making claims that everything is fine, that everything is going hunky-dory, that nothing is wrong. Or they look at them and all these Christians that say, I have all the things I need. The reason why you're not doing good, because something's wrong with your faith. I hear that from the pulpit a lot. So when they hear such false teachings, they begin to look into an uncertain future, frightened, worried, loneliness, fear, depression sets in, and it hounds them daily. And bottom line, positive thinking will not make their problems go away. Confessing that these problems don't really exist doesn't change a thing. These apostles of the positive, they dare not exclude the Gethsemane experiences of life. They dare not experience that. They dare not live that. The cup of pain, the hour of isolation, the night of confusion were all part of the master's lifestyle. Our great achievements, our success, should take place at Gethsemane, not Fort Knox. We all should be at Gethsemane. Some say Gethsemane, but it's Gethsemane. That's how you pronounce it. All of our life experiences should take place in that same garden. You see, folks, the sawdust trail for many has become a gold dust trail. The Bible has become a catalog with unlimited order blanks for life goodies. For everyone who wants to become a silver saint, anything having to do with a Job like pain and suffering is considered by many negative living by many creatures and preachers. See, I said creatures. You see, Anything that has to do with a Job-like pain and suffering, folks, is considered negative living by many Christians today, or preachers who preach that all is good. And yes, folks, God is good. We read the goodness in His Bible. We all would love to experience the good. And many of us, we do. But we also experience a lot of ups and downs. So on top of all this that I just said, one should always think on good and honest reports. And if some of you were seeing what I was typing in the chat room earlier, you see, lately I have pulled myself away from the television, all these crazy news reports, all these crazy magazines, all the social media junk that's being pushed. And many of you who's preaching and pushing a bunch of nonsense, I hate to tell you this right now, those of you who's listening, I know some of you are, I have muted you on Facebook because I'm tired of seeing your so-called junk garbage. Because you're falling in that category. You're causing discord. You're causing divisions. You're causing fights. You're causing pains. You're causing hurts. And none of you are preaching Jesus. None of you. You're preaching the world, junk of the world. I'm sick of it. Had enough of it. My focus now is getting back to the Word of God, meditating on His goodness, His love, His kindness, His grace, His mercy, His special gift for anyone who wants to receive it. So I stay away from television and radio and media and nonsense. And people send me things. Look, Jim, look what I want to show you on Facebook. Delete. Look, Jim, you need to take a delete. Look, Jim, you need to take a look at so-and-so we're saying about delete. Send me something about Jesus. I'll read it. That's why we need to focus on good and honest reports. But pain and poverty and suffering has been falling on some of God's people today. Yes, it has. Just like a religious Job himself. We know Job's story. All of us. I heard every time I read it. Poor guy. Suffered. But God redeemed him at the end. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. One verse. And folks, look what it says. That I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's now my goal. All this other nonsense, forget about it. I don't want to hear nothing of it no more. I'm focused on Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, as I've been asking for quite a while, purge me away from all these silly nonsense, from all this discord, from all this division. And Father, as painful as may be, I separate myself from people who I thought were friends on social media. We're not my friends at all, because none I've been seeing has really been encouraging or lifting nobody up. All they want to do is jump on the same bandwagon as everybody else and push discord, fights, divisions, getting people to argue at each other, to be in heated debates. God, forgive us. This should not be. Jesus would not concern himself with such silly nonsense. Jesus was showing more love and more concern for the soul of the person rather than the junk of the world. And I was at one point starting to get caught up and consumed in all that, Father. And this is why, as me and my wife, we've been talking a lot, and you know our prayers. Purge us from all these things. Prune us, if you got to. Trim us. rebuke us, and correct us. But help our minds be focused on heavenly things and not of things of this earth. And Father, as we just read, our goal should be heavenly bound. We are only here temporary. We're just passing through. So Father, I thank you for helping me see things in a much more clear picture instead of the things that I was so consumed with. And I admit that to everybody, you know, and they may not like to hear it from me, but tough. I don't care. Facts is facts. Time is now to serve you and serve others in love. And I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. We got many people who used to be part of this ministry. They're no longer coming here. They don't want no part of this thing. They are caught up in other things of the world. Some is doing real life stuff, and that's cool. But there are many now just don't want to bother about truth anymore, and they leave. That's fine. I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about telling someone today about Jesus before it's too late for them tonight or even in the next few minutes. We don't know. But Father, as we hear this message tonight, you laid it on me for a reason, and I'm going to present this message. And I've been dealing with, you know, a lot of people who's been going through these things, and I kind of feel for them. I really do. So I ask of you to help them, guide them, show them, love them, and let them know you are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And folks, y'all know the title of this lesson, Learning to Persevere. As you heard me mention earlier, look, a lot of us has been going through a lot of things in the last year. We've been beaten, poked, prodded, knocked down, yelled at, pressured, life, school, man, you name it. You know, me and Lisa's been talking a lot, and we've been saying these things, you know, it seems like the attitude of many in the event of all this has gone on in the world has turned everybody into stinking thinking. And folks, I tell you, every time I go to Walmart or ride down the road or go into your stores or whatever, everybody seems to me has a bad attitude. Or many I'm thinking it's over with for them. Many is afraid. Many of them is throwing negativity out there. Many of them is throwing conspiracy theory stories out there. Many is striving to cause divisions. Many is striving to fight with each other. Many is starting to do this and this. And really, folks, since I've been watching this in the whole year, I have hardly ever seen a generous act of love given to somebody else. Christ-like love. And those of you who's been attending with me in the Bible studies on Facebook, this is what I'm really honing into because Jesus wants us to portray love to the lost and dying world and not none of this worldly, I don't want to even use that word. Some folks might become offended by that, but we need to be like Jesus and show more love. And we need to know, regardless of what we're facing in life, regardless of what we are going through, regardless of what we've been dealing with, Jesus is with us right here. Jesus is with us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And Jesus wants us to persevere in this lost and dying world. It's about high time that you stop burning that into your own mind that, you know, you are a child of God and you're going to persevere over all things that's going to come at you. And yes, they will be difficult. It's going to be hard. Trust me. I've been there. It hurts. You need to start learning how to persevere over such things. So here's the question. Why do so many give up? Why do so many want to quit? Why does so many say, I cannot take it no more? I cannot take it anymore. Do you have the answer? Those of you who's here right now, do you have the answer? I do. I have the answer. Do you know why all these things are being spoken by these people that are saying these things? Well, Rick, that pertains nothing to what I'm about to say, brother, but going anyway. The real answer is why everyone said they want to give up, why they want to quit, why so many say, I can't take it anymore. Do you really, truly know the answer? I don't think nobody really does until I was starting to write this and starting to think on it, but I do. The answer, because of all these folks saying this, do you know that all these whys this, whys that, is nothing more than lies from the enemy himself that's planting that into your mind? That's why when everybody says, I want to give up, that's something that's been planted in your mind by the wicked one. When someone says they want to quit, that's something that's been planted into their mind by the wicked one. You see, when they say all these whys, that's something that's been planted into the mind from the wicked one. The enemy himself. You see, folks, this is why it's been ramped up within this last year. This is why the enemy is doing this. Because, see, the enemy wants us, you and I, to give up. Give up. Give up. And the reason why he wants you to give up, here you go. You see, the enemy himself, believes if he hits us hard enough, if he believes that he can hit us hard enough, he's going to make you and I quit. That's why he wants you to give up. He wants to make us throw in the towel in the work that God has called you and I to do. Because he knows he is afraid. It is harvest time for us. It's a time of harvest. He's afraid. So he wants to hit you hard enough to make you quit. See, if the enemy can corrupt our focus, and like I said, because all this crazy nonsense on social media with all these so-called conspiracy theories and everything else, you see, he is using this as an distraction to take your focus off of heavenly things. And he's winning because you are giving yourself over to the devil. In fact, many of you who's listening, you are of the devil by partaking in those things. I call it as I see it. And that ain't going to fit well with some. That's who's hearing this. I'm not worried. Because if you're allowing your focus to be on other things besides Christ Jesus, then you're giving place to the enemy. You see, as I said, if you can corrupt your focus and take your focus off of God, he will forever have us living what I call a defeated life. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in the name of Jesus. So just for a few minutes, folks, just for a few minutes, God wants to encourage your hearts to persevere no matter what or who. Stay focused on the Lord. Be consistent, be steady, reliable, dependable, unfailing to the work of the Lord, my friends. Be steadfast. Persevere. Never give up. Don't quit fighting. Continue to carry out the things that God has spoken to your heart with all diligence. Keep at it. And folks, if you fall, no problemo. Get back up. Shake off the dust. And start over again. And whatever you do, don't give up. Never quit. You are more than a conqueror. And if you will, and y'all can relate to this also, y'all know who Nehemiah was. He was a man of God who knows the power of persevering. He was a powerful leader, and quitting was not named in his character. I didn't say he was perfect now, but he was consistent in all that he did for God. And we, you and I, can truly learn from him. We can learn a lot from Nehemiah. You, my friends, will have a mighty fight on your hands trying to get this man of God to give up on the work that God has called him to do. You have a fight on your hands trying to draw him away. And if you can recall, if you can memorize, it's not, you know, hey, when you got time, go take a little reading. But see, back in the 6th chapter of Nehemiah, Sanballat and Geshem, representing the devil, these two characters, they were representing the devil, they showed up to get Nehemiah to come to a meeting on the plain of Ono, which was about 20 miles away from Jerusalem. Come to the meeting, man. Come on. We got a meeting. We got to meet. Come. You need to come to this meeting. You need to come. You see, the devil used those two guys, and he sent them to distract Nehemiah because Nehemiah was standing firm for God. And look what Nehemiah said to them, the way he answered them by saying this: I'm carrying on a great work, a great project here, and I'm not coming down. In other words, he was telling them, fools, psst, be gone. Hey, you little pest, psst, leave me alone. Quit distracting me with all this nonsense. Quit distracting me about these meetings or whatever all these people are saying. I ain't got time for that. I'm doing a mighty work for God. And please understand this, folks. Nehemiah himself, he was no fool. Oh, no. That man was not a fool. He knew that these men hated him, and they were jealous of him. But the point is, Nehemiah wasn't about to quit his work for God to go entertain these men at some unfruitful or unholy meeting. He was not giving in to that nonsense. See, he had work to do. He was going to see it through, all the way through. And because of his persistence, Nehemiah obtained great victory for God. Why am I telling you this? I'm trying to tell you this to encourage you. I'm trying to tell you this, how to persevere. Use this man as a reference. He did a mighty work for God. And those of us who really, truly want to serve God, if you want to make an impact for God, then don't let the enemy stop you from doing what you know that God has called you to do, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your community, whether it's in school, whether it's in real life, or wherever that you feel like that God is leading you to do his work, to be an influence to somebody, then don't give up. Like I said earlier, the enemy wants to punch the living snot out of you to make you give up. But Nehemiah, he recognized these crazy fools. In other words, he told them, shoo, fly, shoo. Don't give up. Don't give up the vision. The work of God has spoken to your heart to do, because you may have encountered a bit of trouble along the way. You see, that fool was trying to get after me by that Facebook thing ain't gonna take off. The software is messing up. You're having internet issues. You're having this, you're having that. You're having all kind of problems, all kind of technical issues. And see, he was trying to use that to get me to give up because, see, he was afraid. He was afraid that somebody was going to hear the truth. I wish I wrote the name down, but this guy, I don't know who he is. He responds to those postings on Bible Lessons on Facebook, but he wrote a comment. He said, James, I needed to hear this. Thank you so much. Never heard the person. Don't know who he is. But he saw one of those Bible lessons, and it encouraged him. But see, I was about to throw in a towel because of all these technical issues. But like Nehemiah, I purposely put it in my mind, shoo, fly, shoo. I ain't got no time for this. Keep building, folks. Keep working. Keep going for Jesus. Don't let other people knock you off your wall or your work for God. Too many of God's people are listening to the voice of the enemy. Hey, hey, hey. You see, that's what's happening. You're listening to all these lies when you start coming up with these whys. Whenever you are enduring some kind of hardship or pain or suffering or trials or tribulation, you're listening to all those lies. Look, folks, God's word tells us we are going to persevere. We are overcomers. We will overcome through the help of Jesus Christ. In fact, Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And we keep forgetting all these passages. Quit listening to the voice of the enemy. The lies he speaks are this. And I think you can relate to a few of them. This is the kind of lies he speaks to you. Whenever you're trying to do something for God or step out or do whatever, he kind of throws these things into your mind. Oh, look, you can't make no difference. I don't know why you're trying. Why kid yourself? Man, quit fooling yourself. You can't make a difference. Nobody's going to show up to your Bible lessons at your house. Nobody's going to show up for this. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to listen to you. Well, how about another one? He says this. Oh, well, look, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You're wasting your time. Move along. Well, how about this is a good one he throws at me a lot. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not equipped to do the task. I know Lisa don't like to be in the limelight, but see, she does a good job posting these scriptures for us. This is her ministry. See, the devil could have told her, what's the use, girl? You ain't making no difference. You're just posting scriptures. Big deal. And she could listen to the lies and said, you know what? I just don't feel like doing it no more. I'm going to quit. But she's persistent. We all should have some sort of persistency in us. If not, then you better examine your hearts and ask the brass tacks questions. Why? But quit listening to the lies that the enemy is throwing at you. Here's another one. This is a great one. He uses it with a lot of people I have talked to, and they have told me this. You don't belong. You're not part of it. You come from some bad lineage of non-believers. You see, that's just a few things the enemy wants to throw into your mind, folks. Again, the fact remains that the devil himself is a liar. The Word of God says so. Don't allow the enemy to put fear in you, making you believe that you can't achieve. Don't let him put the fear in you saying that, you know, you can't do all things through Christ Jesus. Because again, the Word of God clearly tells me I can. God does not lie. So if God says it, then I believe it. So if God called you, he's going to equip you. And if God has his mark upon you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. People of God, if you allow fear to creep in, fear will paralyze you in your tracks immediately. If you allow that fear to get in, it's going to paralyze you. But faith will propel you into the way and the will of God, ultimately achieving victory in the name of Jesus. And if you want to make an impact for God, please don't allow the enemy to use persons or materialistic things or whatever things of this world that has no spiritual base to speak into your life against the purpose and the plan that God may have for you. Don't allow those stuff to enter. Focus on His plan. Focus on Him. Get alone and purge yourself from all these things to say, God, I have sinned. I have given in to all that. And this needs to change. And help me be more focused on You. God is calling us, my friends, to step out and take Him at His word. Remember, you are the only Bible that some people is going to see. So if you're spitting garbage on social media networks or getting on the phone and saying junk about other people or saying stuff behind their backs, remember, somebody's going to be watching you. That's not Jesus. I now want people to see Jesus in me. I want them to see me emulating the love of Jesus Christ. Because I had one lady confront me with truth. She told me, she said, sir, you're supposed to be a pastor. And if you're trying to initiate fear factor into people of the so-called nonsense of the world, then you're not living up to the word of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Boy, she cut me to the core. She was right. I had to change. So when God is calling you to take Him and His word, remember, again, you are going to be the only Bible that someone else may see. Don't surrender to the enemy. Press your way through. And as I would say to you, walk it out. Walk it out until you obtain victory. Why am I telling you this? Again, I'm backing this up with scriptures. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says. And it says that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Now, you might see the word temptation, and immediately many people who see that word temptation, they immediately think of sin. Oh, sin, that's talking about sin. That's sin. But when you really study carefully in the Greek, the word actually means to test, to try, or prove. That word temptation right there in that passage means to test, try, or prove. Think about that one. And God may use dark seasons in your life as a test of faith to show you and me what's really inside of us. He may use those darkness in our lives to show us what's inside of us, and what needs to get rid of. And as the Apostle Paul himself pointed out, these tests or trials are common to man, which gave me assurance that, hey, I am not the only Christian who felt like I did during hard times in my life and during those times of tribulations, of wanting to quit. I was not alone. All of us, I guarantee, has probably thought of that. I want to quit. Can't handle it. Can't take it. It's too hard. But we were being tested. was being tried and to prove our faith and make us who we are. So are you facing a hard time in your life right now? Please remember that you, my friends, are in good company. You're not alone. I get it. I understand. You're not alone in your walk. He is with you always. And if you notice in this same verse, I don't know if y'all caught this or not, but I'm going to point it out to you. If you notice in this same verse, also comes with a promise. In the same verse comes with a promise. God is going to provide a way out so you can endure this season that you are in. Whatever you're facing, He's going to give you a way out. It's up to you to look for it. It's up to you to ask. It's up to you to ask Him, show me how. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Have you ever found yourself feeling hopeless and ready to give up on God? I have at times. Are you buried in loneliness, having lost sight of God's love for you? Been there. And if so, I want you to know something. I've been there. And I want to tell you that God has a way of meeting you in the midst of your struggles. God is real. His words are true. And because of God's truth, folks, let me tell you this. This is what I have personally learned. Because of God's truth, I am convinced Satan wants to rob us of only one thing. Not many things. Satan only wants to rob you of one thing. Thing, my friends, our faith in God. That's what he wants to steal. Your faith in God. He really doesn't want my morals or my good deeds or my dreams. He can care less about me. He only wants to steal one thing from me, my faith in God. He wants to destroy our faith and make us believe that God himself has forsaken us. Y'all know Jesus when he's on the cross, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? See, the first time in their relationship, in the triune Trinity, Jesus was separated because why? That's when all of mankind's sins were upon him. And God can't stand sin, can't look at it. For the first time in Jesus' life, he felt alone in his hour of darkness. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then, he paid the ultimate price. He paved the way for us. Because of his blood washed away all our sins. Now because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God sees no sin in us. None. But see what Satan wants to do, he wants us to believe, hey look, man, if you give your life to Christ, oh, if you surrender, oh, if you believe in all this, nothing will happen. Who are you kidding? He wants you to believe that no good will come out of serving Jesus. He wants us to quit trusting in him and his love and just walk away. That's what he wants us to do. to quit. But Jesus' love was so great, he stayed on that cross for us. He could have came down. He could have called a legion of angels to come down at any time. But his love was so great, he knew he had to pay the ultimate price. He had to stay on that cross because the lies of Satan was out there among the people. He won. He gained a victory. So can we. And yes, unfortunately, there is a lot happening in the world right now. There's a lot happening in your lives. And while there's yet no playbook for man to tell us exactly how our lives will be each day, many men wrote many books. And that's all there were, crazy books. But the Word of God does, in fact, tells us one thing that is true. It tells us how to overcome and persevere over what the enemy throws at you and I. It's right there in the Word of God. It's by trusting in the one who has defeated him at the cross. And that person is Jesus Christ. All my hope is in Jesus. That's a song too, though. But all my faith is in Jesus. All my trust is in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus takes the wheel. I trust in him and what he did for me at the cross. So if you feel like throwing in the towel, if you feel like giving up, if you feel like you can't take it anymore, then dig deep. Dig deep into your faith. Hang on to it and don't let go. And find the power from the Holy Spirit himself to help you persevere. It's about time you give the enemy the 1-2 punch. It's about time you knock him on his block. It's about time you tell him the truth. Now, I know you can remember that even when God's ways don't look the way that we expect it to, it doesn't change the reality or the fact that he is the only source of eternal life. And that can lead us on the right path when we need to follow with a true heart. When we truly humble ourselves and ask God, God, I have been a sinner by allowing myself to be doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, saying things I shouldn't have been doing. In fact, even using, you know, media or whatever and post things when I shouldn't be posting, I've been failing you. It's high time that it changed. But whenever you hang on tightly to the source of eternal faith, eternal life, it will lead you on the right path and it will help you make the corrections needed to get right. When I look back on my life in retrospect, I don't regret none of my seasons of hardships or struggles and doubts in my life in serving him. I don't regret none of it. Journeying through those thoughts of doubt, journeying through those darkest hours, those dark valleys, has only done one thing for me. And recently, in the last 2 years now, recently about the last 11 months now, has only done one thing for me. It has now allowed me to have a bigger view of God's master plan. My eyes were open. I see what he wants. I see what he wants to do. I'm 60 years old. I don't know how much time I may have left, but I'm going to use that time and invest that time wisely to present the gospel any way I can and demonstrate the love of Jesus for all to see before it's too late. I see his master plans, because now I feel it. I feel it. When I look at lost souls, when I look at Christians not mentioning Jesus at all, not even talking Jesus, I hurt. Now, it only drives to make me persevere more, regardless of what I'm dealing with. And the reason why, now that I see this, because now I understand that he is gracious, he is loving, he is patient with me and all those times in my life. He can handle our doubts and is present even in the moments when we want to walk away. He's there. He ain't going to never forsake you, my friend. He's going to be with you in all that you are dealing with in your life. That's the fact. The Word of God says so. So I'll leave y'all with this tonight. My dear friends, don't give up. Don't lose heart. You're not alone. God is near. God is near. He's not done with you yet. He hears your cries, and he will rescue you also. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Jesus himself, my friends, defeated the enemy at the cross for us to have a life that he intends to. He wants you to live it abundantly. So whenever you are facing hardships, whenever it seems like you're not winning, whenever it seems like nothing has gone right in your life, look, sit back. Chill. Let him fight your battles. And you rest in his arms, knowing he has it covered. Amen. Let's pray.